Folks, so this last week I found myself distracted by two trends which at first seemed to have nothing to do with each other, but on closer inspection seemed to have everything to do with each other. The first was the American evacuation from Afghanistan, and the second was my attempt to wade through a 1 hour and 45 minute video by one of the flagship YouTube channels of the left, ContraPoints. It goes without saying that I wasn't watching ContraPoints for any sort of enjoyment. It's more that I want to know what the other side are up to. ContraPoints has been celebrated by the American mainstream and seems to sum up the zeitgeist as the establishment would like it. ContraPoints is sophisticated enough to appeal to the intellect of policy wonks in the State Department or presenters of CNN, but it still has that air of being non-mainstream because it's still on YouTube. As my friend the distributors pointed out, ContraPoints is to the mainstream left what Jordan Peterson was to the mainstream right. The difference is the mainstream left is hegemonic. ContraPoints sums up the American moment of the present era. The video, which I genuinely found a slog, was called Envy and explored the concepts of envy and jealousy from many philosophical and historical angles. But most of all, of course, it was from the perspective of a very wealthy trans person, for the YouTube algo, who probably knows a lot about envy and has many people envious of them, which ContraPoints would acknowledge. But then there's what SpongeBob SquarePants has to say on envy. What about the ancient Greeks? ContraPoints had fun repeatedly breaking the fourth wall and addressing the audience. In other words, stepping outside the format and looking back in from a meta perspective and then continuing on with an exploration of Nietzschean slave morality and how it naturally produced envy, or was itself a creation of the envy of the weak, while at the same time calling Nietzsche an angry incel. In other words, what we're getting is a deconstruction of the concept of envy, and at the same time, a deconstruction of the way envy was conceptualized across cultural forms. And at the end of it all, after long, long 1 hour and 45 minutes, what's left over is nothing. There's no satisfaction, no catharsis, no meaning derived, and no conclusion, no happy ever after. What you have is narratives which give meaning to the world and tatters, but nothing to replace them with. Imagine a beautifully crafted violin which, with the right musician, can express something heavenly in music. The question then arises as to why the violin is so special. What makes it a violin? So then it has its strings snipped and the varnish melted, the wood sawn through and the neck snapped. Eventually, you may have found the answers. You may understand why its timbre was perfect, and why that particular design absorbed sounds or reflected them so perfectly. The problem is, you don't have a violin anymore. You've just got junk. But all along the way, you've also had the temporary thrill of destruction, of breaking apart that which was. This is, of course, the modern left incarnate. Pick whatever issue you like. Identity, ethnicity, religion, sex, class. It doesn't really matter. They've already broken it apart and rendered it useless. They've reduced almost every concept you can imagine to junk and felt intelligent while they do so. It's one thing to have this on the periphery of the intellectual life of the nation or the civilization or the culture, but it's quite another when it becomes the dominant and all-encompassing ideology, because eventually the civilization ceases to have a reason to exist or to justify itself in any meaningful way. What this covers up, for a time anyway, what it uses to cover this up, is pomp and spectacle, the show, the diva who can't sing, or who might not even be a diva, but nevertheless puts on a bright and glossy pantomime to entertain as the meaning slips away. And it's here we can take a look at the symbolism of American collapse in Afghanistan and how it intersects, so to speak, with the hegemony of the so-called woke left. The narratives which justified the neocon wars on terror. Well, basically, freedom and capitalism over there means we can safely enjoy our freedom and capitalism over here. And this was sold to America's white Christian base as being an objective good because freedom rocks, and so does Burger King. It's a cynical pack of lies, but at least it has a coherent narrative. A genuine leftist position on this would be to call it capitalist imperialism. It was the West and white, supposedly, system colonizing the poorer parts of the world to extract resources for the profits of big business and also filling up the coffers of the military-industrial complex. The intervening decades haven't been kind to the traditional white conservative Christian base of America. In fact, judging from afar over here in England, it seems they've had a cultural and demographic war waged upon them by the entire capitalist system, as the left would usually frame it, to the degree that the system now sees them as much of a terrorist threat or subversive element as it does radicals from Afghanistan or the Middle East. But here's the problem. America's foreign wars and adventurism largely consisted of recruiting from the section of the population that was swiftly being erased, demonized, and told to check their privilege. The people who believed in the American dream would fight for that dream, and they did, but they were now on the out politically, culturally, and demographically. And so this means the ideology people call woke, which has essentially become the replacement for American patriotism, now has to formulate a way of justifying imperialism abroad. But the problem with that is that wokeism is based on a negation of all things traditional and the lionizing of the marginalized of the world, except rural Americans who get to die quietly of opioid addiction. The beating heart of America is now a negation of itself. If America is the creation of racism, white supremacy and capitalism, as is claimed by the ascendant ideologues, then by what right can it claim to improve the lives of other people around the world? The short answer to that lies in social justice, the rainbow flag, in buzzwords such as tolerance and equality. As the Taliban took control of Kabul, shocked mouthpieces such as Vaush, another bread tuber who sums up the American moment, searched around for a coherent narrative, as did the rest of America's politically correct mandarins. If America is institutionally racist, if American foreign policy is imperialist and you're against such things, then what is the American will or strategy on the world stage? If it defends those interests and the left-wing thinking that permeates American institution today supports it, then aren't they just perpetuating the system? How to get around the bind? How to put the shattered narrative back together? Well, I guess that's why we're getting so much talk of women's rights now. It at least fits into the social justice frame. Can it be enough to justify war and occupation? The first problem is the most basic one. If you've already abolished the foundations of your own civilization because they weren't politically correct enough, then what is it you're forcing onto the other people apart from what your civilization became? Especially when we consider that many of the dominant values in America today, such as the trans issue, weren't even considered by the mainstream when America invaded Afghanistan just 20 years ago. The second problem is, how do you socially engineer a country like Afghanistan to share your views of women, and what are those views on women, given that we're also supposed to believe misogyny is still a problem in the West anyway? Well, let us, for the sake of argument, say Western attitudes to women that we had in the 80s might be suitable for Afghanistan. Well, once again, aren't these the values of the culture that we in the present think of as being oppressive? Or is it to be second-wave feminism or third-wave feminism? And how is this to be done? Presumably, we'll have to change the religious and cultural mores forcibly, and there will also have to be a program of re-education for everyone in the country. And what will replace meaning and identity in this new Afghanistan, for example? Well, social justice, rainbow flags and corporate slogans, just like America has, just like the West has. But this isn't imperialism under a different banner. This is deconstructing and abolishing culture for equality. Isn't equality itself just a form of imperialism now? Surely imperialism in and of itself was the issue and not why it's being done. Well, times change. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Now the bombs have rainbow flags on them, so it's not the same, I suppose. And what's more, as Adam Curtis pointed out in a documentary, Afghanis now get taught the wonders of modern Western art. Why a urinal is seen as art now in our countries. This is what we're bringing these people. Modern art is, of course, asking the question of what art means. It rejects ideas of the transcendent and relativizes it. It's what you get when you deconstruct your own forms of meaning. It's what you get when you break apart the violin and find out what makes it of value. And now, in the name of leftism and social justice, we can break apart everybody's violin and hand them all back junk and then call that progress. Is it the aim of social justice imperialism to create a contrapoint in every Islamic country on earth? In fact, many of them would secretly enjoy that, I think. But the problem, what makes them squeamish, is that the nasty bits with bombs and dead kids that comes first. This is, of course, the problem with having a cynical negative at the core of your worldview. It doesn't create, it doesn't transcend, it just destroys. But so complete and so total is the destruction, it even breaks down the reasoning of the American Empire, which is supposed to be acting as the liberator, a morally just party. If the people occupying all of the institutions of power in America don't believe in America, or rather believe in a negation of America, then why should others around the world believe in it? Imagine living in a country currently occupied by American soldiers, and you've seen via your old 1990s TV set images coming out of America, of the American ruling class tearing down statues and erasing American heritage. You'd be forgiven for asking a simple question. If the American ruling elite hate America, then why shouldn't we? If the American ruling class has nothing but contempt for the history and identity of America, then who or what is it that rules us? Why are these soldiers here? Nobody knows anymore. All that remains is an occupation that doesn't know why it's there or what it's supposed to do. Just like the end of the ContraPoints video, there's no meaning, no catharsis, and no reward. All you have is dead narratives, deconstructed stories, and nihilism. Is it really any wonder why men who believe in something but have very little can win out over a zombie that believes in nothing, least of all itself and its own justifications for doing anything? The Americans who voted for Donald Trump believed in America, but they've been literally purged from America's institutions and public square. Freedom, liberty and guns may not be much, but it's a damn sight better than a crass rainbow flag and a void of incomprehensible gibberish and self-contradictions. They are the ones who had their statues torn down. They are the ones who were force-fed so-called woke politics. They were the ones who got the social engineering and dogma from on high, from powerful institutions pretending to be grassroots movements. They are the chuds that breadtube leftists like to use as content-churning grift for their fully monetized YouTube channels, which earn them six-figure sums per year. There is, of course, the usual geopolitical chess games involved with these issues, but I think something more fundamental is happening. When every last vestige of identity in history has been trashed, there comes a time when the young man who has to pull the trigger doesn't know why he's doing it, and his superior doesn't know why they're there. Eventually these questions reach the political class and intellectuals, and they don't know either because they think the country is evil and founded on lies and hatred. All they have is the value set of some NGO and a college which has magicked out of a social science department 5 years ago and adopted without any consideration because the diversity funding mandated it. Is it any wonder the shambolic retreat from Kabul has been met with guffaws and mockery? Because at the end of the day, what is it they see? What is it the Taliban see? What is it that everybody sees who isn't part of the coping hard social justice industry at the core of Western politics now? What we all see is a bunch of clowns trying frantically to play a tune on a violin that they broke.
I started a joke which started the whole world crying. Fight only seen that the joke was on me. I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. if I'd only seen that the joke was on me. Oh no, I looked at the sky, running my